Wow, it's so good to be here and looking at you today. I mean, I've been living here for, like my brother Kevin was introducing me, for almost 4 years now. And I always, like, when I went to Atria or Watford Town, I would look at this church and say, one day I want to go there, but I'm like so busy and I could never make time to do it. And now I'm here, so I'm so blessed. I'm so happy to be sharing the Word of God with you today. And I hope you can pay attention to the Holy Spirit's voice this afternoon. Thank you very much for having me today. And yes, I come from Brazil, and I don't know about here in the UK, but in Brazil, we sometimes have a problem, a situation. When we are in a relationship, let's say, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, right? Even in the church, we have a situation where we just take too much time without committing really to move into the next phase, to get engaged, to get married. Sometimes we are dating for like 5-7 years of their life and nothing happens. And I say, this is not advisable. You have to make a commitment. You have to commit yourself to this relationship. You know, being dating is good and all, but God is calling you to, if you know this is the person that God is, you know, it's giving you. So you should make a commitment. You should take this seriously. And this, the message of today is about this. It's about sometimes we take too much time just living a life and without that much commitment and just doing things day after day and, you know, just going with the flow and not really thinking about this seriousness of our relationship with others and with God. And let me tell you, I was looking up, and the longest engagement happened in Mexico, where this guy called Octavio Guillén and Adriana Martinez, they got engaged at the age of 15, but they only married at the age of 82. So, I don't want to scare you, but it is a long engagement. So it is, they got engaged for more than 6 decades. So this is insane to think. But sometimes we don't think about our commitment with God and how long we'll be just in the phase of getting to know God. You know, of maybe inviting him every now and then to a nice dinner in our house, but never really wanted to commit to a full life with him. So let's talk about this, because Joshua's story is a good lesson for us today in regarding commitment. So I invite you to just close your eyes one more time and let's pray to God. Heavenly Father, I have one request now. Is that your Holy Spirit could be teaching us this afternoon. I pray that everything that I say may come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So, as we read Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua is speaking to someone, of course. And chapter 24 is very interesting because it's basically Joshua's farewell speech. He was an old guy, 110 years old, and he gathered the people to have this conversation with them and reminding them of some things very important. And in verse 15, he says, "If you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But for me and for my family, we will serve the Lord." It is a beautiful Bible verse. But why was necessary for Joshua to point this out? For Joshua to invite them to reflect on their lives and to make a decision that would change the way that they live. Let's think about Joshua for a moment. Who was Joshua? When I say Joshua in this character of the Bible, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Jericho, right? The Battle of Jericho. Very nice. And Joshua was also, some sort of disciple of Moses, learning from him how to be a good leader. So Moses was called by God, but Joshua, understanding that the Moses' call, was very close to him to learn how to have this close relationship with God. Joshua was the one who indeed led the Israelites to the promised land. It was not Moses, it was Joshua. And when I think about this, when I think about Joshua, there is one story that it really changed my life. And you can find this, you can read when you are in your home. It is in Numbers 13 and 14. It is a story where when God said to Moses, "Moses, I need 12 spies from all of the tribes. 12 spies, okay? That's what I need from you." And these 12 spies, they will go to Canaan, they will go to the promised land, to the land that I'm promising you to give, and they will bring a report to the people. They will explore the land. They will understand the people who dwell in the land. And among those 12 spies, there were two spies that we know their names today. One was Joshua, and the other one, do you know what it was? Caleb, of course, Caleb. And then, these 12 spies, they went to this land, and they confirmed that this land was indeed a fruitful land, a rich land. Would flow with honey and milk. It was the land that they were dreaming of. And this land, so beautiful, so blessed, had one problem. The inhabitants of the land, they were strong, they were big, they were giants. And then when the spies came back from this journey, and they were ready to speak with the people and talk about this land, 10 of the spies said, "Well, it is true. The land is very nice. I'm pretty sure we would have a very good life in that land. But it is impossible to conquer. It is impossible to overcome the people who live there." And then the Israelites, what did they do? They complained to Moses and they said, "Moses, why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness, to die in the desert? Let's go back to Egypt." So they preferred to go back to slavery than to trust the Lord. And then two spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, wait a minute. We can actually do that, because if the God has brought us so far, He will continue to lead us. Let's trust in Him. Let's believe that He can give us victory." Joshua and Caleb. The other spies, they were afraid. They predicted defeat. They influenced people to fear. But Joshua and Caleb trusted God even when they were minority. And this is the first thing that I want to for us to think about today. When we talk about commitment, when we talk about committing to the Lord, When you talk about this real relationship with the Lord, we have to have this relationship despite the number of people who will support us in this relationship. Sometimes, and many times maybe, we are in the minority. In our workplace, maybe in our universities, wherever you go, sometimes you have an unpopular opinion. You believe in something that the Bible says for you to believe, but many people that live around you, they don't. And I know this feels sometimes discouraging, and sometimes you just want to, you know, like maybe go with the flow, you know, maybe just not even talk about, because I'm just going to create confusion, and I'm just going to create, you know, like this moment of discussion. But stand out for the truth is something that we have to do. Joshua and Caleb, they could have just kept quiet. And just, you know, I don't agree with them, but I'm not going to say anything. These people, they are crazy. But no. They spoke what they believed. And a commitment, a real commitment to the Lord, is when we, despite their diversity, despite the people around us, we remain faithful. It's not easy, but it's necessary. And then, going back to the end of the book of Joshua, we have, before the meeting with the people, Joshua had a meeting, chapter 23, with the leaders of Israel. And I want to read the first few verses of Joshua 23. So if you have your Bible with you, please read with me. Joshua 23. And it says, "The years passed, and the Lord had given the people of Israel rest from all their enemies. Joshua, who was now very old, called together all the elders, the leaders, the judges, and officers of Israel. He said to them, 'I am now a very old man. You have seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. I have allotted to you as your homeland all the land of the nations yet unconquered, as well as the land of those who we have already conquered, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. This land will be yours, for the Lord your God will himself drive out the people living there now. You will take possession of the land just as the Lord your God promised you.'" But pay attention to verse 6. "So be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left." So Joshua, as he knows his time is near, he wouldn't be around for much longer, he summoned the leaders, the judges, the elders of Israel, and he reminded them of the Lord that they serve, and how he has been faithful to them, and how it was because of him that they have conquered this land so far. And if they want to remain being successful in their endeavor, they have to remain faithful to the Lord. But how do they do that? Joshua, you may ask. Joshua was very clear. You have to stick. We have to follow this book of instruction. You cannot deviate from it, turning either right or left. Let me tell you something. Sometimes life in the church is not easy. You know what I mean? It is true, isn't it? And when I think about Joshua again, and going back to the story of, you know, Joshua as a spy and everything that, you know, happened after they went to Canaan, You remember what happened, right? Because after that, we had this dialogue between God and Moses. And God said to Moses, I'm going to destroy these people. They are so disobedient. They are so unfaithful. And reasoning with God, Moses asked God not to do that. And God said, okay, I'm not going to do it, but I will do something about this disobedience. I will make these people, this generation, walk for 40 years. And who was among those people who walked for 40 years? Joshua. Joshua was faithful. Joshua believed that he could conquer the land with the help of the Lord. But because of his people, he had to walk for 40 years. He had to wait until an old age to actually experience a life in the promised land. And let me tell you, I've seen people leave the church for much less. But Joshua, he understood the assignment. He understood the mission that he had. And he understood that in order to accomplish this mission, coming from the Lord, he had to be with the people of the Lord. And even though if I was in his shoes, I was just like, I would be very mad every day that I would woke up and see my neighbor and say, it was because of you that I'm walking in the desert. I was supposed to be in the promised land, enjoying the beautiful fruits there, and just resting and maybe, you know, just walking in a much better place than he in the desert. But no, Joshua didn't do that. He stayed with his people to the end. And maybe this is a lesson for someone today who is here, or maybe who is watching online, that is thinking about giving up on the church, maybe on the faith. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, it's not worth it. I've been hurt so bad. People don't care about me. Maybe thinking that, you know, I'm just gonna give up. But I urge you to learn with Joshua. Because Joshua knew that this was his call. So no matter how bad he would be hurt, he was still pursuing the purpose of God in his life. And let me tell you, Joshua had a very exciting life. Joshua, he was born in Egypt. And Joshua, when he was around 40 years old, he was, like I said, invited to be a spy. And then, when he was around 75 to 80 years old, he became the leader of Israel. And then, you can see that he led some campaigns when he was around 80 years old, you know, conquering Jordan and some other campaigns. And he was dividing the land when he was around 85 years old. And then, now he is 110. And he is saying to the people, I'm very old. I'm not going to live much longer. But let me tell you something. You have to believe that you can keep trusting the Lord, and he will keep being faithful to you. So a commitment that endures. A commitment that endures for eternity. When you commit to the Lord, it's not one-time thing. You have to keep committing every day to this relationship. You have to strengthen your relationship with God every single day. It's not about coming to church every Sabbath and then living the week as if you didn't remember that you were a Christian. No, it is about a commitment that every day of your life, you take the time to pray, you take a time to read the Bible, you take a time to help others. This is the commitment that Joshua had with the Lord. And this is the commitment that we need to have as well. But then, going to Joshua 24. And this is beautiful. Because Joshua chose to first speak to the leaders. And now, he's speaking to the people. Everybody. You know? No matter the status in society, everybody came together to listen to what Joshua had to say. And then Joshua, in verse 25, again, he says, choose whom will you serve. So it's not about serving or not serving. It's about whom will you serve. Because you serve someone or something, that's for sure. But you have the choice. You have the option. You can make a decision whom you will serve. And then he says, about me and my house, or me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And the last commitment that I learned from Joshua's life is a commitment that inspires. Inspires others around him, and of course, inspired his own household. So when he is now at the end of his life, he can say this, me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Let me tell you something. The hardest audience for anybody, for someone preaching the gospel, is your own family. You know, it is easy for me to preach here, but when it comes to preach my own family, this is the challenge. Because my family, they know who I am. They know my flaws. My mom, she knows. She can see right through me. And living a life that inspires them to follow the Lord, it is a hard thing to do. So that's why when I read the story of Noah, many people may think that Noah was unsuccessful preaching, you know, preaching to the people to come to the ark and to be safe and to believe that the flood was coming. But yeah, everybody might have died, but Noah was able to save his whole family. This is the hardest thing to do. And I remember that, you know, growing up in Brazil, my first contact with the church was when I was eight years old. I was very young, but it was not through my family. It was not because of my mom or anything like that. It was through a neighbor. And, you know, I like Pathfinder, and I like just playing with the kids, and I like the church environment in general. And then, when I started to actually understand why I was there, like to really take my faith seriously, I felt troubled because I could see that I was the only one in my family was coming to church, was actually, you know, trying to have a relationship with God and with Jesus and whatnot. And then one day I remember when I was a kid, I went to the seminary. People in Brazil, the Adventist people, they love studying Revelation and Daniel, prophecy in general. They love that. And when I was a kid, I was very scared of studying that because, you know, when you're a kid and you go to study Revelation, the only thing that you can remember really is the horns, the beasts, the dragons. You don't understand anything, but you get impressed with the pictures that, you know, the preacher showed on his slide and everything else. So I was impressed. But there is one thing, one day, in one seminar that I heard that made my heart sink, because on that day the preacher, the speaker, he said, he was quoting Revelation 21, he said, one day Jesus will wipe away all the tears Because even in heaven, we will cry for a little bit, because we will see that the people that we loved so dearly when we were here on earth, they are not there with us. And this, I was really troubled with this message. And I said, I had to go and talk to my mom about it. And then I remember coming to the house that we lived. And then I went straight to her bedroom. And I sat with her and said, Mom, we got to talk. Because I know heaven is beautiful and all. I've been learning this in the Bible. And I've been learning this with my pastor and whatnot. But I'm not sure if heaven's going to be the same without you. I don't want to actually experience heaven without you. And then I remember that we cried that day. And then the journey of my mom going to the church is a very different journey. It's not lenient. So it was like full of ups and downs. And sometimes she would come to church. And sometimes she would like, oh, okay, now I probably will keep coming to church. And even one time she got baptized, but then she left. And then it was just this thing that I believed that, you know, she would never actually commit. And then one day, she decided that the life that she was living was no longer a life worth living. And she decided to commit to the Lord. And she decided to come to church. And I remember she decided one day, and she said, that's the serious commitment I'm going to make now. I will get baptized and I will not leave this church. And then she got baptized. And then I just got, I think last week, you know, she became a leader of the church. She became a leader of the women's ministry of the church. And then I just got last 2 weeks ago, I think, a message on WhatsApp of a photo of my mom preaching. Can you believe that? So I just want to say this to you, because you may be in a situation they're very similar, that you pray for someone in your family. It might be a daughter, a son, maybe it's your spouse, maybe someone that you love so much, a friend of yours, and you've been praying for them like for ages, and you've been praying for them, for the Lord to touch their heart, and for them to open up their hearts to the Holy Spirit, and then they never do. I'm just going to say this to you. Don't give up on them. Amen. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep inspiring them. Keep showing God's character through your actions. Keep believing that one day they will acknowledge that they need Jesus in their lives. Never, ever give up on the people that you love. And that's when we come to a closure to Joshua's last words, is that we understand that the promised land is not only a place, but the promised land, it is a blessing offered by the Lord to the ones who choose to commit to his service. So no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been a Christian or you've been participating in these religious services, I just urge you to have a commitment that trust is more important than numbers, a commitment that endures, and a commitment that inspires people and that never gives up on believing that God is leading the way. I pray that we can have this commitment today and forever.